Our Father, Lord in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Gentlemen, you have a copy of the agenda and all this. I know we have a couple of deletions, Dave, and we also, I would like also to, we have Miss America Princess 2008, which, hang loose just a second there, sweetie. And so she doesn't have to listen to this boring stuff, for lack of better words, being nice to us. We'll also, you know, should we approve the agenda, we can, she would like to come up. And we'll certainly get her picture and all that nifty stuff, okay? And okay. Dave, you also have some deletions?
We have two items to delete. One is Mr. Bob Jones, project engineer, South Coastal Library, change order one, which is not quite ready. And Russ Archett, Milton Library project, contract award. We are still working on that item.
Okay. Motions, please, gentlemen.
Make a motion we approve this agenda for Sussex County Council, August 19, 2008, as in printed form with the deletions the administrator just gave us.
Second.
Move second that we approve the agenda as amended. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes, motion passed. You can come on up if you'd like, sweetie. Come on.
Sweetie.
We might have to
lower it in.
Can't see her now.
Put her off the side.
Chip was out there. Chip, stand right on top.
Put her up on the podium.
No,
put her
on the podium. That she'll fall. Like
put her on the chair.
Put her on the chair. We don't have a chair.
Yeah, we do.
Stand her on the. I don't know.
So everybody see her?
Yeah. Did you? Would you? Did you want to say anything? Not really.
You stand behind her, Chip.
Chip to the rest.
Or would you like to say something, Mom?
Okay, sweetie.
Come on. All right. Are you stand up on the chair, and then Mom, you can step.
She's gonna make a speech.
There we go.
Look at that.
This way.
All right, I like Angles.
Get her close to a microphone.
She is Miss America Princess.
Yeah, she's actually going to the Miss America pageant.
Pageant.
To represent the state of Delaware for the 3 to 6 year.
Okay. Why don't you, if you could.
Get up right to
the mic. How
old
are
you?
State your name. And just to give us the same scoop again, please.
My name is Rhonda Mercy. I'm Alyssa Mercy's mother. The weekend of 4th of July, we went to Frederick, Maryland for the Miss Delaware American Co-ed pageant. And she won in the princess division, so she's representing the state of Delaware in Florida the week of Thanksgiving for Miss America.
Wow. Fantastic. That's a great way to spend Thanksgiving, that's for sure. No doubt in Florida. That's we'll get the whole count. If the whole council would like to come down, and she'd like a picture. And then we also just have a small token of $150 to help you out on the way. Also, okay.
Greatly appreciated. Right. We're actually going to use the money to put an ad in the back of the pageant book, and I'll just say.
Okay, whatever's.
Everybody. Okay. They're going to come get a picture.
We'll stand behind you so we don't cover you up there, Kim.
Chip's grabbing his.
Do you guys care if
we
put it in
the? No, that's where you need to put it,
okay.
Right?
Well, also it'll be it's an opportunity to.
Won't move or have we get behind or something?
Okay. There's a chance it may be in the national pageant book.
Oh, here we'll
move a little bit, and then
there you go.
Here, jump, come on, come back out
front.
There you go.
Here we
go. Get in front.
Come on,
get in there.
Little guys, get in there.
Hang on a minute, Robin, I'm sorry.
Make sure you smile.
Thanks, Chip. Arm around him again.
Let's put it in the room.
Sure.
make sure her picture's good.
Yeah, that's right. Can't do much with the background.
That's the best picture you got taken in a while.
That's right.
Get that guy out of here.
I don't think that you criticize the public.
Kramer, call the sheriff, get that man out of here.
I always wonder what he did. All right, that's enough.
That smile is killing me.
Congratulations, sweetie.
Thank you. I'm going to let you know how we do it at our
Have a great trip. Good luck.
Have a great day.
First, he'll be watching it from Canada.
Been a while.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Do they have that channel on the Canadian TV?
I don't know.
So you can watch it?
Michelle's number is 227-1221. You can call that.
Yeah.
Okay, gentlemen, we have the minutes from August the 5th in printed form. Is there any corrections or additions? If not, I'll take a motion.
Take a motion to approve the minutes from Sussex County Council. What's your date?
August 5th.
August 5th. Second.
Move the second that we approve the minutes as printed. Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Duke.
Yes.
Mr. Rogers.
Yes.
Yes. We have a substitute in today. He's looking good down there. I told him he's got an easy agenda. The correspondence, please.
Yeah, there's two items. The first is a thank you note from the Boys and Girls Club of Delaware for contributions to the 2007-2008 annual One campaign. And the second item is an email correspondence between Joseph Thomas of the Sussex County Emergency Operations Center and Ken Driscoll, the father of a girl that was lost in Sussex County recently. They were seeking to have the, or seeking, I'm sorry, seeking to commend the dispatcher Charles Chip Stevenson on a job well done in assisting Mr. Driscoll in locating his daughter.
Okay, thank you very much. Any other correspondence from any council? Being none? Dave, I'll turn it over to you just for a second.
Sure.
You can introduce Mr. Hughes and John.
Sure. This morning we are honored to have with us today Secretary John Hughes, the Secretary of Department of Natural Resources. Secretary Hughes and his staff have been working with representatives from the county, the construction industry, and others to develop super green criteria. And in our land use plan, we proposed expedited review with state and county expedited review as an incentive for developers who meet certain criteria to be determined and super green criteria. Secretary Hughes and his committee have been working to establish a framework for these criteria, and he also asked if he could explain a little bit about it here to the county council today. So with that, I'll turn it over to Secretary Hughes.
Morning, John.
Morning. Thank you very much. I'm always, I hate to turn my back to people. On the other hand, I'm here to address you folks, so I don't know quite how to do it.
Stand sideways.
Would you like me to do that?
I can do that.
All right, John.
No, we don't care, John.
John.
Whatever you're
John.
Comfortable doing.
There you go. They can hear you in the back.
Here you go.
Now you're walk around. There you go. Be like Evangelist.
Test.
There you go.
Now you can be like Johnny Carson or something.
There you go.
Stay away from those. The basic concept of Supergreen is and has been to develop criteria for development that rise above the standard criteria and law that we've dealt with all our lives and we've built up over our careers. The idea is to create a menu of enhancements that are not just environmental. They may be energy, they may be a landscape, they may meet social goals. But different pages of the menu would have point totals. And if you reach a certain point level of adding amenities to a development, you can reach a point of being called, labeled, and awarded super green status. The reward for achieving this very high level is fast permitting, which isn't easy, because it doesn't do any good whatsoever for DENREC or the county to make a 90-day permitting turnaround, including full public hearing and public input, if the Army Corps of Engineers is on a 2.5-year schedule. And that happens to be the case. We sometimes are the 2.5-year log jam. I suspect the county sometimes is in that category. The idea in Supergreen, again, is to precondition the permit applications so that they're done properly, done well, can be approved quickly, but also give them priority. And I want to give you some examples of how Supergreen might work. We've taken some of our finest people and put them on the Supergreen program in DENREC to develop the criteria of Supergreen. One of them is here with us right now, Jennifer Campanini. Please wave so we can see you. She's small. And we also have the support of major consulting groups. We're here. Two of them are here today. Developers that have already proven themselves to be capable of the very highest level and finest developments. Preston Shell is here. Bob Thornton is here. People that have done well by the land that they own. The idea of Supergreen, again, is for an upper 5%. You have to really be good to get this designation and to be entitled to the permitting concepts, fast permitting, and the accolade of being called Supergreen. I'll give you some categories, major categories. Site design, site conservation, site location, sediment and stormwater, site construction, landscaping. Concept, let me give you just one good Supergreen category. Buffer strips that exceed those required by law by 10%, 20%, 30%. You'd get point loadings for that. You reach a point total of 85% from all the menus put together, 85 points, not percent. You've reached Supergreen status. Once again, it isn't easy, but you're going to get a really good development out of that. You're going to get a development that has, and I'll give you a page out of Bob Thornton's development that I thought was just an elegant idea. Let's have the piping and wiring in the roof already present for solar. Solar cells, solar heating, hot water. Let's have it in the roof already plumbed in. We're not going to put it in because that's extremely expensive, but it's going to be available to the homeowner, the plumbing already there, and it can be done at relatively low cost. It doesn't double the cost of a house to run the plumbing and wiring up there and have the switch controls and the apparatus, the wiring ready for the apparatus of isolating the solar energy from the line energy that comes into a house. So that's a great idea. And in the case of Mr. Thornton, he received LEED Gold certification, first in the nation, for that and many other enlightened ideas. It didn't raise the cost of constructing the house by over, I think it was, what, 1.5%? 1%? 1.5? 1.5. That's amazing. The concept, again, of Supergreen, some other Supergreen concepts that aren't wildly expensive. That is rain gardens. Take the roof runoff, run it into a growing plant area in the lawn. It doesn't have to all be grass. Have a rain garden. Have rain barrels that you can tap for water. If you don't have the time to tap barrels, rain gardens are passive. Get a couple of points for a rain garden. They're not big. They're not as big as a car parking place. But they take all the water that once ran into drains, and in normal conditions, they reuse that water right on site. They're attractive. They're hosts to butterflies and insects and so forth that are beneficial. They're a good idea. The whole menu, the whole Super Green standard is designed to attract maybe 5% of developments. And it requires, and this is the challenge and the reason I'm coming here to you, it requires interaction between DLDOT, Fire Marshal's Office, county, and I started here in Sussex County because it's my county. That's where I live, and I'm familiar with this county, and I think that if we can do it here, it can be done in Canada, Newcastle County. It's not that we're not active in those counties, but that we started with developers who happen to be Sussex Countyans and are familiar with this neck of the woods. So, in long and short, it does take commitment, and there are some hurdles that have not yet been cleared. One of them is the federal government, Army Corps of Engineers. I'm going to see the Corps next week, I think, two weeks from now. I'll go to Philadelphia and do battle with them. I'm not sure it'll be battle, but I would like to get some delegation of their overall responsibilities down into a lower level of government where if we meet their standards, we can take over some of their work because they're shorthanded. You call a Corps of Engineers in Delaware, you get an answering machine.
There we know.
And you may not get a call back.
Because we know that's it.
Yeah. Have you had that experience,
yeah,
Finley?
Absolutely.
I have.
Twice, matter of fact.
Yeah.
Recently.
It's a little disconcerting, isn't it?
Yeah.
You won't find that in Denrick, by the way. Nor do you find it in county government. So I'm prepared to answer questions. I don't know whether I've missed any key points. I will say that one of the major advantages of Super Green is it has been generated not by a bunch of bureaucrats sitting in their cubicles in Dover. It's been generated by consultants and developers here in Delaware who have, in my opinion, a greater reach in their minds, a greater grasp of the realities, so that they won't propose and haven't proposed unattainable Super Green elements that don't make any sense. This has been ground truth through DENREC's advisory groups that have reviewed it, and they've got tons of comments, and we're not finished. We don't have a dead-on Super Green menu yet, but we will have it in just a very short period of time, and we have already interest from developers who say, let's pilot this. Let's do a pilot. We've already got our permits. We don't need your fast permitting, but we would like to be a Super Green pilot because we have great ideas, and we'd like to see them, see if they work out. And we're trying to do logos and how we would establish ourselves as having something worth attaining just out of pride, just out of the saleability of a development that has high energy efficiency, high environmental standards, and maybe in some cases, we've looked at public safety, fire elements. Fire Marshal is fully prepared to work with us. He's got ideas how to enhance the safety elements. Those are all, I mean, sprinklers for one thing. So, if I could answer any questions, I've gone on a little bit longer than I intended to, but we have had Dave and his staff have been at almost every Super Green meeting. I appreciate it very much. You've been a real contributor. You've really helped us along. So I think there's already a county commitment at that level, and I'd like to raise it up to the next level if we could today.
Maybe Rick could explain how the county, you're the only guy I can find, Rick. Come on down, Rick. If you could explain maybe what he's proposing and how we would put this into effect at the county level, because typically we don't, I don't think, require rain gardens and, you know, through our zoning and requirements or conditions. Would they be standards? Would it be part of an ordinance? How would you see this, us doing something like John Hughes would like us to do?
Good morning. As you can tell, I'm not here prepared to make a speech.
That's the best way.
George is used to that.
Finley's never prepared.
As the secretary has indicated, this is still under development.
Right, right.
But as I understand how it would work, there would be an evaluation committee, for lack of a better description, that would take an applicant's application, submittal under the program, and score it.
Okay.
And depending on the score, would assign whatever level of points would be appropriate. And then if it qualifies, then it would proceed through the process. Now, depending on what it is that you all agree to do in order to participate, then that would happen. If it's moving ahead for public hearings, then that's what would happen.
Let's just,
if it's
a scenario like this where a guy would get up here and make his application, and his application would have all these things that John's mm-hmm. talking about, and then as it leaves here, all of a sudden they start taking things out because all of a sudden they find out, oh, that sounded good, but it cost a lot of money, and maybe we better not do this. Is there any way that we can make sure that when we hear these presentations and they're trying to get our blessing, that as it leaves, the council and goes to the Planning and Zoning Commission? I mean, we can't expect them to voluntarily do this stuff. We require it.
It is a voluntary program in order to get the points in order to participate. So this is nowhere intended to be an ordinance mandating certain performance. But the idea is a quid pro quo that you, the developer, offers to do something.
But if he gets all these good points and then he starts changing his mind and he gets expedited, what do we do then?
I think that's one issue that needs to be resolved as part of the definition of the program. But bonding, for example, is one way to address that issue, and there may be other ways to deal with it. But that specific question is still, I think, fair to say, is under development.
Well, but also, go ahead, John.
From my standpoint, this is an honor reached by the highest level, at the highest level of the development community. If a developer betrayed the commitments they've made, which are written commitments, I would pull the Super Green designation, I'd go drive a pickup truck over there and pull the damn sign out in front of the development, and I would go to the press and tell them this development is not a Super Green development anymore. I don't think I'll ever have to do that. I'm dealing with the upper 5%. And you know, George, that alone is enough in the world we live in. I believe in that. These are people.
There's a lot of people out there with a lot of hope this election year, but I don't know.
But they're not going to get the designation on hope.
I understand. But they have to
show a commitment to Super Green. They have to have done their homework. They have to have real world.
Yeah, like, but I don't want to see, John, I don't want to see all the rewards handed out. And then as we get into the process later on, then we see all of a sudden they're changing their minds because they were able to, because the ordinance said, you know, you weren't required to do it.
But I think
that's one of my concerns. We don't have to resolve that now. I'm just saying that seems like that ought to be in here.
But if you
somewhere.
Know the systems, Mr. Cole, that also if you go to public hearing and they do state X, Y, Z, and it goes back for plan review in front of our planning commission, and they say you missed that on the print, then they're going to say, sorry about your luck. We're not going to approve final plot plan. I mean, that's part of the system.
But they've
right
been
now.
Expedited. In other words, the one thing is they can still
be rejected at that point and say you either go back. I understand, George. But
one thing they want more than anything is expedited review.
Well, expedited review nowadays is not a token anymore.
Let me finish and then I'll be done.
A certificate of occupancy has to be issued by the county. We don't have to issue it if they start violating.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's all kinds
of mechanisms.
I'm just saying, I think there needs
it's
to be something
if you knew what the
in there
was
to make
now.
Sure that what we hear, we get. The other concern, John, is it's been the latest trend now to expedite every application. Every time we come up with a new, whether it's housing or protect the environment or whatever, we're expediting the reviews. Mm-hmm. Everybody's now expedited. Mm-hmm. I've had complaints now from developers who are doing, like, say, projects that don't require or don't fall into the categories where they can get expedited. So they're getting pushed behind. So the guys who are coming in, making applications and following the ordinance, following the rules, all of a sudden keep getting pushed back. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to have a problem where either once everybody gets expedited, then we're right back to where we were.
I don't think that's fair, Mr. Cole, to say everybody's expedited. I mean, there's
certain circumstances,
Lawrence
would have an expedite.
Lawrence Lang said 5% was all. I mean, that's hardly.
You have another day.
We're supposed to be talking about this. I'm taking my turn.
Let Mr. Cole have his turn.
Okay. Are you done, Mr. Cole?
No, I was just concerned. I've had complaints that people felt that they were being pushed on.
That's not his problem.
That's again with the expedited, so that may not be the pie in the sky, whatever. Okay.
Sliver of hope on the horizon there. I've undergone a process. I've hired a direct student of John Deming, the guy that taught the Japanese how to build cars properly. Maybe he shouldn't have, but they were competing us thanks to process improvements. And we've done those process improvements in Denmark, and we've cut our permit issuance time in half by that streamlining. We found out we had accreted a whole lot of bells and whistles on our permit system that didn't make any sense anymore. We found one permit system that had 13 reviews inside our agency. 13 reviews is 13 times worse than one. There's no accountability in 13 reviews. What I'm saying is the Super Green process will enforce a better system, and then I have and will give to the county the time of Ronald Harris Parker, Dr. Parker, to review and work through some of your permit inefficiencies to help you with it. What I think you'll find is there'll be a trickle-down effect from Super Green into your other permitting efforts that you'll do faster permitting, because I guarantee you have inefficiencies in it. I did.
I know we do.
You can do better than that, and we can help you do it without. It's not adversarial. It's cooperative, in which you just look at your system and develop efficiencies within it. I don't think you have to duck time away to do Super Green that's going to hold up other normal permit applications, but I think your whole system can benefit from a review that we will offer. So that's okay. Out there.
Mr. Phillips, you got any comments?
Yes, I'm done.
As long as the program is voluntary, I think
it is voluntary.
I think it's great, but oftentimes in government we start out voluntary, like the seat belts. Seatbelts. We're a voluntary program. We're going to encourage seatbelt use. And then it just, you know, gradually, before long, you're getting a ticket for not wearing a seatbelt. With that said, is there any consideration that technology may alter the future of our energy uses? For instance, I just heard we found a mile down under Idaho, 100 years worth of oil. Something was on CNN one night. What happens if we get all these houses retrofitted for solar and all of a sudden somebody comes up with a new way to heat our homes and all of a sudden we're like, gosh, we went through a lot of trouble for nothing? Are we that close to being in a position to make solar heat competitive with other forms of energy that we want to start down this path?
There are components in Super Green that are passive. Too. It's passive solar construction, it's more efficient, better insulation, houses that work better window glazing and so forth. It isn't all in that pushing a shift away from standard energy sources. I would never design a program based on the discovery of more oil. I mean, that's, you've heard that, I have, but hell, solve our energy.
But you're basing the design on the assumption we're going to run out of oil. And I don't know that you should do that either.
I'm going to hustle out and buy that Mercedes that was for sale so cheap.
Don't be condescending. This is a
price
serious
is going
issue.
Down.
And just because you're putting in these systems that really
you.
Nobody is sure we're going to be using 10 years from now, you don't need to make light of it.
I got it.
But we shouldn't address that in our zone.
Mr. Cole.
No, I'm just
asking,
you know what
Mr.
I'm saying?
Cole,
in energy.
Mr. Cole.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just a question, John. I appreciate your concern.
I understand your position, but I will say this, that the cleaner energy sources that are involved in Super Green, I think will be clean through the rediscovery of oil if that happens. I think that they are attractive to homeowners. I think they're saleable, and I think they're better for our environment in any world of energy distribution. So I think they're a good idea, plain and simple, and I think they'll give you monthly electric bills in the $100 range through a heating season and a cooling season, because many of the concepts are elemental but not practiced, cost more.
Dukes?
Mr. Secretary, the super green, that's just one, you either attain super green or you don't. I mean, there's not different levels of super green, teal, as I understand it.
There are not.
Shades of green.
Right. And I, well, we had a meeting prior, and I know it's, I'm not asking you to comment because you haven't had a chance to look at this, but it seemed like to me from a practical standpoint that different levels of green that you could achieve, and maybe the lower level of green that you would achieve would might not contain the expedited review if it's a lower level, just, you know, whatever it is. But, I mean, there are certain things you can do either to get there. I mean, I know you want to retain super green as the ultimate goal in your development, which I think is good. I think it should have the high standards. But, I mean, I see some advantages maybe of having lower levels that they could obtain, even though it's not super green. It would be level, different levels, you know. Something that you said you would look at and work on.
Let me answer it this way. LEEDS, which is the energy certification, it's a national program in which Silverwood achieved in a single house that got it LEEDS Gold, which is the mid silver, gold, and platinum. So there is a precedent. It's just that I've looked at the standards for a grand total of 3 minutes, and they were handed to me as
I
came in.
I didn't expect you to comment.
As I told you, I wake up in the middle of the night and think about these things.
Oh, so man.
I need time to assess it. But I think that precedent of having a higher designation and the rewards of a higher designation. I mean, the fact of the matter is that ultra-fast permitting may not be sought by all people. We've had people wishing to be super green pilot program to pilot one, and we're going to try to do this. We're going to do this. That already have their permits in line. They're not after anything but the designation.
Right.
They'd like to.
It's a good selling tool.
To meet that goal, yeah.
Yeah.
So well, I think that's laudable.
We got a number of people in the county who are interested in it, so, and they're working with you, and I appreciate them, and you're working with them.
Yeah, I like the idea of getting off the regulatory. I'm not a natural regulator, but I like to see progress, and I think this has got some really neat aspects to it. And the people I'm dealing with, I have the highest respect for them. The developers that show up and work and have been to every meeting, and they're here today.
Oh, they're in the upper 5% you're talking about.
Yeah, they're the 5, but they're
we would accept
vitally interested.
Yeah, but applications will come from the 100%, not just that 5.
Mr. Cole, nobody interrupted you. Thank
no, they,
you.
Oh, wait, they did 3 or 4 times.
Who did?
God, forget
thank
it.
Thank you, Mr. Dukes.
Your memory.
I'm done.
Mr. Rogers.
I can't wait
till January.
I think it'll be an elite group of contractors that does it.
Some days
like
me neither.
Okay.
What beg your pardon?
I think it'd be an elite group of contractors that does it, because we got some bad contractors out there. If they get approval to do it for expediting approvals, they'll cut corners and still build crap. I think it's not good. But I think it's a good project. I'd like to see a lot of people do it, and it's going to raise the bar. I don't think it'll be affordable housing for some of the people here in the county, but it'll be upper end housing that a lot of people can benefit from. So I think it's a good thing.
Thank you. Let me just give you one small, talking about affordable housing, one small super green concept that was given to us, where 1,000 square foot houses built around a central grass courtyard. You don't drive the car in front of the house. You bring your access from the back. 1,000 square feet for retired couples. It's just two of them. They don't want a big place, but they want a nice place. They want to be in a multi-use development where they can have access to a library, to a supermarket,
high density,
and so forth, without getting in a car and driving. It's mixed. And I understand the totems and the sacred elements of density in this room. And I'm not going to, if you all want to go there, I'm going to have the door.
Let's go there. Let's go there. We got a lot
of time to do
this. All day, John.
I'm not going to do it.
Oh, we need your opinion.
We got a slow morning, John. I dare you.
That's good.
The headlines will read, Hughes supports high density in Sussex.
Right. Nah, he knows better. He knows better.
We've done each other. You said it, George Dallas.
Any other question, Mr.?
No.
Okay. John, I got, there's no tax dollars. This is strictly volunteer. No tax dollars being used to pump the system. All voluntary group sitting out there through, I mean, as far as subsidization. So the developer will be footing the bill and all this whole study and everything else, basically?
Yeah, I'm putting staff dollars into it personally.
Right.
I'll offer consultants' help that I'm paying $100 an hour for to you for help in your process improvement. That's simply
right.
analytical work that I think you benefit from. But I'm not asking for a penny from you. I will say that I'm putting penalty money into developing super green criteria, $10,000 or fewer dollars into the developing the logos, presentations, booklets. One of the things we wanted to offer is some of the super green practices need maintenance by the homeowners association.
Absolutely.
We would like to have boilerplate language for each practice to be inserted into covenants. That's there. We did the legal work. It's the language is right. If you use this language, it's you've immortalized the concept, but it's there for you for nothing.
Right.
So there are things we're paying for that will be offered for nothing.
Right.
But yeah, I think you have to round the corners on Super Green to make sure you got a saleable product that will attract people.
I guess and the only other thing is, you know, and I've always been, I understand it be voluntary, and I do think that's a good thing, because I think, as everybody said up here, I think that the ones that are the elite builders are going to do it because they're going to try to draw certainly the people to toward that. On the inspection part, once it, you know, are you guys going out and is soil conservation doing like the, you know, the inspection on stormwater management? Are they still doing all? I mean, where's the fun, you know? And you're also talking about building in here. Is that something we're going to have to look at as far as our building codes, as far as, you know, our inspection, or you know, where's it all? Where's it split from point A to point B?
Okay,
you know.
That's a good question. It's a fair question. I borrowed a copy of draft Super Green criteria to walk up here from Jennifer, and I see on the front, who will enforce Super Green, written in her handwriting. So it's not that it hasn't been thought of.
Right, I'm sure.
Let me say this. We will carry the burden of making sure no Super Green criteria runs contrary to county law and regulation. Now, if it's something sought after, I'll come here and beg for it.
Right.
Okay? Because I think there may be some. But I'll give you an example in Kent County. A fellow wanted to put in rain gardens, which are small, and run roof runoff to the rain garden. But he wanted a deduction of the roof impervious surface formula for the rain garden.
Uh-huh.
I did call Brooks Banner mm-hmm. and Mike Pettibonage. And I said, you know, our seven stormwater people think it's a great idea if it's done right.
Absolutely.
This is a developer that wants to do it. I support it. You guys do your thing. I'm not pushing it, but I'm saying I support it. So I did call them, and I would do the same to you. I'd say this is a good idea from Denrec's standpoint. I recommend it to the county council, and then I'll abide by your decisions, because I've never crossed you all in a direct challenge at all, because I don't work at all. Well, one thing I can't. I don't have the power to do that.
Okay. Any other questions? Anything else?
Thank you. There are probably federal monies available to help with this.
I haven't seen them.
You haven't?
Yeah. If they put the solar panels in and all the other nifty stuff, you have the tax credits.
We had a
beyond
fellow.
That,
yeah. We do have the. We have a tremendous new source of funding for energy efficiency, and that's the SEU, Sustainable Energy Utility, that's going to be funded out of the REGI Greenhouse Gas Initiative. This is all done in the legislature within a year or so. That's going to be a deal with $11 or $12 million available for consumers to add energy efficient amenities to their house. So that will enhance the energy component of Supergreen.
What's REGI?
Pardon?
You used an acronym, REGI?
REGI is the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative, which is a credit cap and trade system for carbon dioxide, which is not a regulated pollutant, but is a pollutant. It's the cause of global warming, greenhouse gas emission, a critical one. REGI has been adopted by Delaware through the General Assembly, signed by the governor.
Right.
It will sell energy or CO2 credits and will generate quite a bit of money. we're going to say 11, but it could be 30 million annually.
We had a fellow talking about windmill zoning for windmills, and he was saying that there was money that would help him put his windmills up, and I was trying to figure out where that was
going. Well, we didn't get the bill. I don't think we got that bill passed on solar. There, some communities forbid solar panels on the roof.
And windmills.
Which I think is not particularly enlightened, but they wanted us, everybody thought it was a great idea, let's eliminate those covenants and at least allow people to put solar on if they want to. You got to look at them. I mean, they're not the same as shingles. But, and then folks said, well, why don't you do that for wind, small wind? I said, big difference.
Big difference yeah,
between a giant windmill flying around in somebody's backyard and vibrating and so forth. I mean, I'm all for it, but I'm not going to say that that isn't a community concern that has to be recognized, as opposed to solar cells, which when they become, they are becoming more cheap. And there will be cost sharing for them through the sustainable energy utility that didn't exist before. If you can get them at 40% discount on cheaper cells anyway, some folks are really going to put them in. I can't. I'm in the woods, right? I put the suckers in right now. I gave them a sun. Mm-hmm. Well, I think they're a great idea. I love the idea of the meter running backwards.
Yeah.
I sit there and watch that all day long.
Seems like the poultry industry would be interested with all that roof space. But
We did a full solar down real close to Maryland. I was there. It was the rainiest day in history. it was making like 7 watts in that rain. It was pathetic, but in the sun it does really well. Mm. Our solar facility at Deniers yesterday afternoon, 3 o'clock, was generating 6,900 watts, sitting there cranking away. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Watch it. We have a little meter that people can read when they come into the building. Kind of neat.
Any other questions? Dave?
I believe Secretary Hughes, it's my understanding that this proposal is for Sussex, is to start in Sussex County. And
it's not limited to Sussex County, okay. But everybody got to be somewhere. I'm here.
Yeah,
that's right.
And I'm here first because.
And you're proud of me.
A couple of reasons. There's more going on in Sussex County, even in this downturn or whatever you want to call it. There's more going on now. There's more to save, there's more to be preserved. And the developers that I've found that were early joiners have been Sussex County developers. That doesn't mean they can't step a foot across the border, but I am going to Kent, and I've got to get to Newcastle before this thing alarms people up there and what we're talking about. But I will do that. But I started here today.
Perfect.
And your employees have been vastly involved and productive. We really, one of our points of optimism, to be frank with you, Dave, is your folks' presence and support.
Thank you. Mr. Langford.
The oldest bureaucracy in Delaware, Ralph Reed is one of the best employees in the state of Delaware, in my opinion, public service. He's on board with this. And yet he's got the most massive bureaucracy to work through on entrance permits and so forth.
You got that right.
He's ready. It's true. We all know this. Once again, I'm placing before him Dr. Parker to help him with this process, just as I offer it to you.
Thank you, John. I appreciate you coming down.
Thank you very much.
And what is the next, John Freely? What's the next step? Are we...
I would like you to endorse the super green concept, but I'm not asking for it in front of me or anything like that. And I'd like to see your.
So as we go through this land
use. Have you read it, Jordan? So you know what it is. Okay.
Got notes on it there, Mr. Jones.
Phew. Yeah, that shocks me. Okay, but
see one in front of you.
Okay. Okay. Right. Thanks, John. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. You can get that.
Did you notice who made the comment first?
What comment?
I asked a question. You jumped
right in.
You jumped right on me, but then he doesn't remember it.
Okay.
But he's the one doing.
I'm in charge. Work. Remember that, Jordan.
Right.
Okay, Dave. Yeah, you're up.
Thank you. Tell the attorney he's supposed to keep score on who jumps on who
you
first.
You got Mike Wyatt and Mike Vincent back there. They're not going to want to be here.
Mike, notice who jumps on who first. I want you both.
Yeah,
all you got.
I don't know. It's going to be
late. They always
make
it me. I'm the bad guy.
It's going to be late.
God.
Okay, thank you.
Wait, I just ask a question.
You just like talk to yourself, George, that's fine.
I just asked a question.
You're a candidate, sir.
This is, I did want to introduce, this is Mr. Michael Smith, who is taking Jim Griffin's place today, works for Griffin and Hackett.
You don't have anywhere the conflicts that Mr. Griffin has? Is that why you were picked?
No.
They can show it.
Ignore it.
Go ahead, Dave.
The first item is to bring...
You'll be looking for a full-time job anytime soon?
Assuming I shouldn't respond to that.
Good benefits.
The first item is the Clerk of Peace office move, and effective yesterday, the Clerk of Peace office is now located in the Tunnel and Razor Building at 30 East Pine Street in Georgetown behind the courthouse parking lot. The telephone number will remain the same as noted in the report. Weddings can be or will be performed there in the Tunnel and Razor Building in the conference room or in this building or any or other locations as requested by the wedding party. Single-family home building code inspections effective September 1st, 2008. The Sussex County Building Code Department will handle single-family building code inspections and take the place of first date inspections. The constable's office has moved effective yesterday to the second floor of this building where the clerk of peace office was previously located. And then that frees up the first floor constable's office to be used by additional building code inspectors. Existing county staff has been utilized to handle the transition at this time. So as of this point in time, we had four employees in the budget, new employees. We have not hired any new employees. And if the construction picks up, we anticipate, you know, we may need to hire additional employees, but at the time we're using existing staff to cover this change. Mm-hmm. We're also cross-training assessors and planning and zoning inspectors in building code methods. So illegal sign enforcement effective August 27, 2008. As per the ordinance, the county will begin charging a $25 per sign fee for illegal signs in the county. Following enactment of the ordinance on February 26, notices were sent to sign violators, and thereafter signs were removed without a fine. Approximately 1,300 illegal signs have been removed since February 26. But again, effective April 27th, we will begin charging that $25.
So when they find a sign, then that person will get cited?
Yes.
Okay. Whether they pick the sign up or not, right?
Right.
Right. Okay.
Reiterate the section about political signs. I had somebody ask me today if they...
They're exempt.
Yeah, the state political signs are exempt. Right. And...
in the public right-of-way.
Even though some of them were up prior to this, were illegal.
11,
but
11 feet of Del Dot, 11 foot of clear zone Del Dot, they'll take it.
I'm not mentioning.
Wait, they're not permitted in
Lewis.
Not in Del Dot's clear zone. That was per Nathan Hayward. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Going can address that, Lawrence?
Okay. But they are permitted because they're exempt by state law. Okay. David, is there we're going to be over there in the Tunnel Razor, the attorneys?
The clerk of
peace
office.
They're going to still be having offices there?
Yes, when you go in the Tunnel and Razor Building, if you just bear right, the
will there be a big sign
office,
say weddings like this way and then divorces this way?
You know, when George Parrish said, you know, George Parrish anything, I'm surprised fireworks hadn't gone off already over there. So, you know, it's a
can we have an office maybe before you, you know, propose anything new, maybe an office of county divorce type of thing to complement the maybe we get some money there, generate some fees.
Would you like to make that? Make
I don't know. If we can do, we can marry him. Why can't we unmarry him?
Maybe you can. George can use that for his re-election this time.
Just a question. I was just going.
Okay. All right. Dave, go ahead.
Okay.
Don't listen to us, please.
The next item: Angola sewer funding press conference.
These guys will take that and run with it.
Attached is a copy of a media advisory from the United States Department of Agriculture regarding an August 29th press conference to be held at 11 a.m. at the Angola by the Bay Clubhouse. And the purpose of this release is to announce funds that the USDA has available for funding the Angola sewer project. County staff will be attending the press conference. The funding that, as we understand it, that they will announce matches up to what the funding that was included in the rate setting prior to the referendum. So,
Gail and I will be out of town.
Building code seminar on September 4th at 9 a.m. Building code seminar regarding the installation of vapor barriers will be held in the county council chambers. Seminar will be available to county code enforcement officers as well as to the public, including contractors. Beneficial acceptance, the engineering...
Dave, just can I... and that will be free to the, anybody that wants to show up, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Why not? Maybe.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Dave.
Next item, the engineering department granted beneficial acceptance to DMR Center Agreement 653 on August 13th. Developers DMR Properties. Property project is located north of Route 299 and 24 in the Long Neck Sewer District. And included in this report is a fact sheet on the project. Also, we have a reminder regarding hurricane season. Attached is a copy of a press release reminder regarding hurricane season that began June 1st and ends November 30. The release notes the importance of preparation for our residents. County Council summer break. The Sussex County Council will not meet on August 26th or September 2nd for a summer holiday. The next regularly scheduled meeting of the council will occur on September 9th at 6:30 p.m. And then finally, March of Dimes benefit. Some county staff will be participating in the Touch It Truck benefit for the March of Dimes on August 23rd from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Kmart parking lot on Route 1 north of Rehoboth. The goal is to attract children to the event and provide donations to the March of Dimes. Attached is a letter regarding the event. Thank you.
Any questions, Mr. Baker?
Mm-hmm.
Being none. Good morning, Hal.
Hello. Mr. President, members of council, for your consideration this morning, we have a substantial completion of the Beaver Dam Regional Pumping Station Agreement Number 668A. The developers in this case are Dove Barrington of Bear, Delaware, Estate of Fairway Village from Wilmington, Delaware, and Millville Town Center from Frankfort. The location is the town of Millville, County Road 366. This is part of the Millville expansion of the Bethany Beach Sanitary Sewer District. It will be serving a residential type 345 units of Millville. Fairway's contribution is 335 units. And Barrington will serve 547 units. At this point, there are no connection charges. These will be charged at time of on-site construction. We have had, for some time, approval of our engineering department and the approval from DENREC. We're expecting the construction days to be 1 year. Construction administration and construction inspection cost agreement number 34 will be $749,605, with construction costs totaling $4,032,000. The proposed motion for this particular consideration is worded as follows. Be it moved that based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department and Whitman Requart and Associates for agreement number 668A, that Sussex County Council grant substantial completion between Sussex County Council and Dove Barrington Development LLC, Estates of Fairway Village LLC, and Millville Town Center LLC for construction of the Beaver Dam Regional Pump Station number 293 located in the Millville expansion of the Bethany Beach Sanitary Sewer District.
Hal, run through these costs one more time. $4 million, is this the $4 million one?
Yes, the $4 million is the proposed construction costs.
Paid by
the developer?
I'm not sure. We'd have to ask Mr. Izzo.
Mr. Izzo says, shaking his head, yes. The developer is paying $4 million?
Correct. That's his construction cost to install the infrastructure.
Absolutely.
So the developer is paying $4 million worth of infrastructure costs. And the $750,000?
Yeah, the construction administration and construction inspection costs agreement number 34 is $749,605.
That money is coming from who and going where?
from the developers.
Developer coming to the county.
The county to reimburse us for our inspection.
Okay.
Cost
making that clear.
developers don't pay anything, though, do they? Developers always get a free ride, and know what to say?
Rubber stamp. Well, Dale, it's their development. They should pay for it. Who should pay for it, Dale?
Not
you have, wait a minute.
I'm hearing ads that taxpayers are paying for all this, Mr. Cole.
No, I'm just saying, who in this particular case you have in front of
I
us.
I think the developer should, and developers
okay,
are.
That's right. Right. That's exactly
just,
how it works.
Just a point of clarification.
That's how it's been doing for 20 years.
Motion, gentlemen. You can talk about this in just a few years. We can talk all day long. I got plenty of time. It's been moved to second that we approve agreement number 668A as stated. Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Duke.
Yes.
Mr. Rogers.
Yes.
Yes. Motion passed.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Infrastructure before development.
Good morning, Mike.
If it ever gets built. It'll never get built.